Chapter 2 Julia and Leora sat knitting while Nicholas read the paper. That blanket is turning out quite lovely, Leora. Julia smiled and reached over to touch Leora's handiwork. It will keep someone warm next winter. Leora imagined giving it to one of the children at the Children's Aid Mission, the charity where her brother and sister-in-law often donated both their time and their money to help the poor children in London's East Side. Leora was a practical person, and she liked the idea that something she was making would actually be of some use to someone. Practicality of that sort, however, wasn't normally valued by polite society. From his chair in the corner, Nicholas broke his silence by rustling the paper he was reading and drawing it closer. He mumbled,
"Oh, that's bad."
"What's bad, my dear?" Julia asked, looking up from the shawl she was embroidering.
"It's Lord Withinghall. Apparently someone is trying to embroil him in a scandal."
"That horrid man. What has he done?"
"He isn't horrid, Leora. What makes you speak of him that way?"
"Do you need ask?" Leora stared at her brother. "He is rude and uptight, and despises me particularly."
"That cannot be true. He told me recently that he was sorry he had never made your acquaintance, and planned to do so at the next possible occasion."
"That must have been before Mr. and Mrs. Colthurst's ball a week ago." Leora heaved a deep sigh.
"What did you do?"
"I shall ignore your insinuated accusation, since sweet Julia is present." She scrunched her nose at her brother. "It turns out we knew each other already, although we hadn't been formally introduced."
"Oh?"
"He was the man whose hat got ruined when I was riding through Hyde Park. I wasn't watching where I was going. I told him it was an accident, but the man has no sense of humour. Can you believe he accused me of being a reckless hoyden? He said it was young ladies like me, with no sense of just decorum, who were bringing down English society, and soon we'd be as unseemly as the French." Nicholas stared at her, his eyes wide and his brows raised, and, unfortunately, I encountered him again 3 weeks ago, when he criticised me for running through the maze at the Fortenberrys' home. What is a maze for, if it is not for enjoyment? Nicholas laughed so hard and so long, Leora put down her knitting and folded her arms and glared at him. "I see nothing funny about someone calling me, your sister, a reckless hoyden, and accusing me of being unseemly. You should be outraged. The man has such an air of self-righteousness. He's proud and imperious and..." Julia added, "And at the recent ball, he and Mr. Colthurst overheard Leora and Felicity saying he resembled a pirate." Nicholas frowned, his brow wrinkling in puzzlement.
"A pirate?"
"Never mind that," Leora said. "He is insufferable, and I'm sure he is sorry to have made my acquaintance. In fact, he practically said as much. If I ever see him again, it will be too soon."
"That sounds very peevish and unjust."
Nicholas adjusted his paper so that his face was concealed from the two women. "Unjust? I am being neither peevish nor unjust. Why do you like him so much? Why take his side against your own sister?" Leora picked up her knitting, but she was so angry she hardly knew what she was doing, and had soon got her blanket into a snarl, making her growl under her breath.
"Edward, the Viscount Withinghall, and I were in school together as boys. He is 2 years older than I, and once saved me from a thrashing by some older boys. He is a good sort of fellow, and he's also from Lincolnshire. Our fathers were on friendly terms, and now he is one of John Wilson's greatest supporters in his Children's Aid Mission."
"I am certainly grateful he did that service when you were boys," Julia said, sending an affectionate look toward her husband. "He seemed very courteous when I met him, though a little stiff and formal. But what was it you saw in the newspaper?" Julia asked. "You said there was something in the paper about him." Leora went on trying to undo the tangled knot she'd made in her knitting, determined to be silent.